freedom of worship, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church. Let's have a scripture reading right off at the beginning. And rather than doing Proverbs 1, let's do Psalms 150. Psalms 150, the last psalm in your Bible. This is 150th day of the year. And so if you read a psalm a day, you are up to Psalm 150 today. Praise the Lord. So if you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word and let's read together Psalm 150, all six verses. Even though the science community says that you spread germs by speaking out loud without a mask on, let's spread germs and sing praise to God, reading Psalms 150 out loud, hallelujah, as part of our worship. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you have a song sheet, let's go ahead and sing that song that's Meet Me There. I liked that so much last week, I left it in our song sheet this week. It actually took me whole week to find these chords, so we're sticking with them. Praise the Lord. On the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. Where the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, are o'er on the happy golden shore. let's forever sing on the palace of the king. We'd be there, where in sweet communion blend heart with heart and friend with friend. In a world where ne'er shall end, meet me there, meet me there, meet me there, where the tree of life is blooming. Meet me there, when the storms of life are o'er, on that happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more. Meet me there. Praise the Lord. And our next song, Little Is Much When God Is In. Praise you. Thank you that we could worship today. Thank you again, Father, that we could gather and be an assembly of believers just like your word says. Thank you again, Father, for your blessing on all those that would assemble on this Lord's Day. I think especially of Pastor Clark and the summons that they've been given to not meet, and Pastor Reese and New Jersey and the governor there, and the challenges that they're facing and the fines that they're being leveled just for meeting in your house. And Father, I pray again that you'd see our plight and hear our cry to you, and that you'd touch. Pray that you'd be with Anchor Baptist this morning in Maslin, Ohio, that's having its opening service. Pray, Father, again that you would just touch each of these churches, Father, that's going through persecution, even in America. And pray, Father, again that you'd see our plight, hear our prayer, and cause that your name would be lifted up through it all, that we'd have some victories. And I'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for your blessing, Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Thank you that we could meet. Thank you that we could broadcast our service and record it and get it out to folks. And I pray for your help. I pray again, Father, that you'd touch this little church. Touch each one that's here with a special blessing and from on high, Father, that you touch lives, that you'd accept our worship and give the promised blessing, Father, for those that would gather and lift up your name on this Sunday morning. Thank you for your resurrection from the dead. Thank you again, Father, that you did it to purchase the likes of us. And Father, as we're here to lift up your name and praise you, thank you for that salvation. May we again just rejoice all the more in what you've done for us in these times of persecution and charge and challenge. And I pray, Father, again, that you'd smile on America once more. I pray again, Father, that you'd be with the chaos that's going on in the streets and the absolute anarchy that's taking over in our cities. And Father, as we see all these things unfold, and I pray again, Father, that you'd still bless America. Cause again, Father, that there'd be some governors that would learn to say, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." I pray again that there'd be some mayors that would recognize the plight of socialism and communism that this country's headed for. And Father, that you'd turn this nation back to Thee. We'll praise you and thank you for your blessing on this Lord's Day in a special way. Thank you especially that we could worship and love you. Thank you for the victory you've given us. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. To the work, to the work. To the work, to the work. We are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. And its banner our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings salvation is free. Marching on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hold, let us watch, and labor till the Master of darkness and error shall fall, and the name of Jehovah exalted shall be in the loud swelling chorus. Salvation is free. Toiling on. By way of announcements, they're in our bulletin. Appreciate again that we could meet here on Sunday mornings and on, praise the Lord. Could you hear us okay outside, Bill, or no?
Been
rude. All right, good.
Well.
And we'll be having, again, our 11 o'clock worship service, and that's the only service we have on Sundays right now. And it looks like we're going to be doing that all through the month of June as well. And we'll be doing that. On Wednesdays, we'll have our meeting again for prayer time. And then Saturday night, if I can figure out how to get this Zoom number consistent, we'll go ahead and Zoom in for prayer time. And I've also got that available on our conference call for those that want to tune in live for our conference call on Saturday nights. I think I've got it set up so you can also pray with us and be heard by everybody. So we'll try and continue that again on our Saturday nights a prayer time at 8 o'clock. I enjoy that time. And I got the important things done for the day, including watching Lawrence Welk, who's all over at 8 o'clock. And so I run upstairs and we have our prayer time. Appreciate again that we could meet this week. Again, a lot of things happening. And pray for America. Boy, again, we're in a mess. There's anarchy in the streets. And you'd expect that when a country is headed for communism. Boy, it looks like it right in our streets right now again. And so when, again, it's voting for socialism. And I think, again, the anarchists have been ported and into every city. I heard several cities say that these are outsiders. They've come in to initiate riots and looting. And, again, we see that. Again, I think it's all related to an election that's coming up this fall. And again, they're trying to overthrow our economy. They're trying to overthrow our cities. They're trying to overthrow and bring anarchy into our streets. And the unfortunate thing is that they're doing very well at it. And so pray for our country. And we're in the end times, and they're showing up pretty dramatically. Our fellowship dinner, we're still on for a fellowship dinner on Thursday night, yes?
Chinese.
What was it? Chinese, that's right. And so Chinese fellowship dinner with chopsticks. No, okay, chopsticks are out. Chinese is in, chopsticks are out. And I think I have a free conference call. If we can get another computer set up in our kitchen, we can get the free conference call connected into that as well. That'll be interesting. Praise the Lord. So anyway, that's our Thursday night plan continuing on. And if you can be here on Wednesday night, I appreciate those that come out. We need to pray together. Our country needs prayer. Again, after the Supreme Court decision this week, if you don't know, they went with the state of California has the right to tell churches when they can open, how many people they can have. And even other states, our governors are trying to limit that you can't do any public speaking. And that you can't sing out loud. And so just the things that's going on in America is unbelievable. It's unprecedented. And now the Supreme Court decision after Thomas again switched sides to the liberals. Roberts switched sides to the liberals. Has voted by a vote to 5-4 that the states have the right to curtail worship in America. So we expect that to be overthrown. But it's going to take another year probably before another Supreme Court case gets together. And right now, CLA is working with two churches in New Jersey to bring a case to the Supreme Court. Pray about that. Pray about Justice Roberts, that he'd have a clear vision of God, a clear vision from God, and that he too would learn to say, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God."
Amen.
Oh, Ahab said it. And again, if Ahab could say it, I'm sure that some of our governors and congressmen and leaders could understand that. And so that'll be coming up. Pray for the churches again. They've been levied fines. I don't know of any in New York right now that have been levied fines. We're sitting in pretty good shape. Our governor is busy doing a whole bunch of other things right now, and that might work to our benefit, unfortunately. So appreciate again that we could meet. And any other questions, comments? We're doing good, I think. Praise the Lord. Appreciate y'all coming out here today to worship. And appreciate, again, our tithes and offering. This is the last Sunday of the month here. We're closing the month of May. And appreciate, again, that we could have tithes and offerings given here at the church. We can do that. It's unconstitutional or it's abnormal for a Baptist church to do this without passing the plates. But our offerings have been good. And I appreciate your faithfulness in giving. So, in again, recognition of our God's blessing and in your giving as we do that offering here today, let's go ahead and sing our doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Brother Cranmer, do you have a scripture reading to do? We didn't do our Proverbs, either one there, so... Did you have a scripture reading for us? Let's do that. Great. Yeah, I just noticed I skipped two of my scripture readings here.
Let's all stand and turn to Psalm 136. For his mercy
endureth
forever. 26 verses. I thought about reading and you guys just saying for his mercy endureth forever. But, so I'll read the odd words if you guys read even.
It would be almost like a chant there.
There's right? A theme. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever."
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever.
To him who alone doeth great wonders,
for his mercy endureth forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heaven, for his mercy endureth forever.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever.
To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever.
To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever.
With a strong hand and with stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of them, for his mercy endureth forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever.
To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever.
And God, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever.
And gave their land for inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever.
Even the heritage of Israel was served, for his mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever.
And he redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever.
Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's read 26 together, but also the theme is also in 26.
Oh, give thanks unto God in heaven, for his mercy endureth forever.
Praise the Lord. I like that song. Hallelujah. Because his mercy endureth forever. If you have a song to while we're standing, let's go ahead and sing. I wish I had given him more. Welcoming hands, nail-riven hands, by did appreciate again that, we do have one more song in here. I just got going with songs this week and added a bunch. Let's open our Bibles in the meantime to Ephesians chapter 6 before we do our last song. The book of Ephesians in chapter 6 has come to light again that there's things going on in our country. There's things going on in our churches. There's things going on in government leaders' lives that makes us want to emphasize the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So let's look at the very scripture that emphasizes that. Ephesians and chapter 6, and starting there in verse 10, you follow along as I would read from God's holy word. Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 10 down through, let's go all the way down through verse 18, verses 10 through 18. Rather than me read that, if anyone else want to stand and read that good and loud. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Johnson. Appreciate that reading. Appreciate that scripture. Well, we need the armor of God, and we need to be praying always during these days. Last song says, set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness. Fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness. Put thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter. Never let me fail. Fill me with thy Spirit. Let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be your witness as I live in me. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible, open up to the book of Matthew again in chapter 13. I was just trying to figure out a song this morning on the guitar, and I think I got most of it, so I'll be trying some of it there this morning.
The busy streets and sidewalks, they suddenly grew still as a man came through the entrance of the city.
Who he is, and praise the Lord when he did, and he saved us. Hallelujah. Again, appreciate again that we could worship him this morning for what he's done. Well, we're in Matthew in chapter 13. This, I think, is message number 4 on entitled Behold Your King, and a lot of things going on this week, and I didn't get all my outline written out, so I figured if I just rehearse everything I've preached on this chapter and this topic so far, we could easily spend our last half hour here. But we do want to look at two of the parables that emphasize the fact that things are different in this kingdom age than what was expected by the Pharisees, what was even expected by the disciples. And so the kingdom of God, it started out being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his disciples, by John the Baptist, who said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God," or the kingdom of heaven, "is at hand." That again was repeated by the disciples, repeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, there was a presentation of the kingdom, and they could have had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but they rejected him. And so the first time again that we see the phrase, "Behold your King," is given by Pilate at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he turned him over to the crowd and he said to them, "Behold your King." And so as this change of venue unfolds, we find again in chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ also has a critical change. And we looked at that and noticed how that this message began just like a chapter 5 message called the Sermon on the Mount. And here it says in chapter 13, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore." Huge gathering again of people that were gathered there because they'd seen some miracles. They've heard again of his preaching. He preached with authority, and no one preached with this kind of authority before. And then verse 3 says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Verse 10 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And so I've noticed that this week, even since preparing and preaching through these verses every day, at least at my house. I still preach to my beagle, but he's buried under a rock right now. But I go up on the deck and still preach to my beagle. He doesn't give any response anymore. He used to. But as I preach this again several times this week, I look at it and say, wow, this is awesome. This is amazing. And let me repeat it again, what he says: "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And listen, this is true for the majority of our society today. Even those that call themselves Christian have not heard good preaching on the kingdom of God, nor have an understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so Christendom, if I dare call it that, has completely missed the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And again, we've already looked at the fact that the Protestant churches, coming from the Catholic Church, have all preaching that they are going to usher in the kingdom of God, and things are going to get better and better and gooder until the king just comes down and steps in and the Pope hands over the keys to the church. I don't know how anyone could believe that. There's still a few amillennialists around, but it's kind of difficult for me to believe that things are getting better and better. Instead, I think it's easier to believe what Jesus said, that as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's easier to believe what Jesus said, that when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? It's easier to believe the revelation and the message of the churches and understand that we are in a Laodicean church age, where Jesus stands outside the church knocking and said, Behold, if any man lets me into the church house, that's what that is in the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. And so, as we look at the Bible here again, understand that these mysteries of the kingdom of God are given for you. Listen, pay attention. If you're here today, you're a born-again Christian, it's given to you. And you've got eyes to see, and you've got ears to hear. Because He's enabled your eyes, He's healed your blinded eyes, He's opened your ears, He's caused again that you can hear and understand. Even a King James 1611 Bible we can understand.
Amen.
Even though it has these and thous in it, we don't need to use a ESV, English Standard Version, that took out that favorite phrase we hit this morning in our Bible reading, His mercy endureth forever. By copyright limitations, it was stripped out of the ESV Bible, never to show up in there. Shame on them. And shame on the people that try and broadcast that as a Bible. Made the mistake of tuning into TBN. We bumped into it. I like Mike Huckabee, and every once in a while he's on there. And boy, they got preachers on there. Even some of my old Jeremiah, some of my favorite preachers, are now thumping on an ESV Bible. Mm-hmm. And so our society has set aside the truth. And again, I just want to emphasize one more time out loud, if I could, that Good Samaritan Baptist Church is a pillar and ground of truth. And praise the Lord, we haven't compromised. We will not compromise. Amen. And as we look at that stand, understand that it's not very popular in our society today. It's mocked again this week because we're a KJV-only church. But I'd rather be a KJV-only church than have an ESV sitting on my pulpit. The Lord help us.
Amen.
And so again, as we understand these things, look at that verse again. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. A lot of people asking this week even, what in the world is going on? Are we in the last days? Is this the end times? Is the tribulation just around the corner? And listen, we here that take a stand on the truth have an understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unlike so many others in our society. Friends and kin are in evangelical churches that know nothing about the rapture. Know nothing about the second coming of Christ. And so, again, I praise the Lord, again, that here, because we heard the truth, and it has set us free, that we have ears to hear and eyes to see. I praise the Lord because you came to Him as a dirty leper with a dying death upon our bodies. And yet He hath given us new life. He set us free. And He's put us on a solid rock, Christ Jesus. Verse 12 says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." And so here we stand again looking at these mysteries, looking at this mystery of the kingdom of God and understanding again that things are not as was expected by the disciples, that we are coming into a kingdom age that's going to first be the kingdom dwelling inside of Bible believers. And Jesus said to His disciples, "What, don't you know yet that the kingdom is within you?" And so praise the Lord. Right now, you are to live in the kingdom age. Don't be holding out for a pie in the sky someday. What was that song we sang? Life is so hard as a Christian. Listen, it isn't hard as a Christian. We are in the kingdom right now. The kingdom is within you. You have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords living in your soul. And greater is He that is in you than he that is rioting in New York City. And so again, understand that as a Christian, as a believer, we've got two things right there in that context. First off, we have an understanding of the truth. And secondly, we have a relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I get excited about that, again, especially when I look at all the things that's going on in this world. I had a Saturday morning conference call with the churches down in New Jersey. And Friday, again, the Supreme Court did its ruling. And boy, I tell you, that was a somber meeting on Saturday morning. We was expecting victories. We'd expect that the First Amendment meant something to the Supreme Court. And when they granted, it probably was a botched up case that they brought, trying to claim discrimination against the church when they had no business doing that. They should have claimed, again, the idea that we could worship as we please. And so, again, in that conference call, boy, there was a somber tone. And it was said by more than one that this kind cometh not out except by prayer and fasting. And there was a call for pastors all across this nation, especially up here in the Northeast, to spend some time in prayer and fasting this week. Because again, we're in a warfare here. And as we read out of Ephesians, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But there's things going on in powers higher than you or I. And praise the Lord, we know the final chapter, but it's going to come again with some affliction even upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's quickly look at these parables. We did the parables again about the wayside soil and the stony places and among thorns and the good ground. And again, we saw there that three out of four presentations of the gospel are going to be feckless, are not going to have an effect on people. And so again, don't be surprised again in our day and age when people are scoffing at the gospel that it might even be worse than three out of four as far as receptions of the gospel. But what are we to do? Quit? No, just keep preaching anyway. Yeah, but it's wayside soil. Why waste seed on that? Just keep preaching anyway. Just keep the seed going out. Keep the gospel going out. And so we looked at that first parable that says, hey, it's not going to work out that well. Then we looked at the parable given starting there in verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like to a man which sowed good seed in his field. And we looked at the fact that even in Christendom, even in the church, as it were, there are going to be tares. There are going to be pretend Christians. There are going to be those that are not real. We watched the Gaither was on just before the Lawrence Welk, the Gaither homecoming. We watched the original, the first time Gaither homecoming, and just wept through the whole thing. It was precious. We watched this one. I didn't know any of the homecomers anymore. So, in talking about them, I asked Beverly, how many of those singers on there do you suppose are really saved? I mean, they had a couple rock pieces, and, Christian rock, and some other things on there that I didn't like at all. How many of those singers do you suppose are really saved? And there was tears during some of the songs that they sung. But listen, if you've been an actor for years, you can go on acting. Mm-hmm. And if you've been acting for years, you could even fool yourself. The definition of a pathological liar is someone who can no longer tell when they're lying. They start to believe their own mouth. They start to believe their own lies, and they get all mixed up and tangled up. And so I think lots of times our churches, I know on that, all them singers there, again, some of them started out singing in church choirs and just got gooder and gooder until they was on the road, bought a bus and went on the road and went out singing. But some of them never did have a true Bible start to their singing. And so they just learned to act Christian. And the longer they did it, the better they acted until pretty soon they could fool themselves. And so it is with these tares that was sown in the church. That again, they fool themselves, and they don't understand that they're fakes. And oh, be careful of that. It's happening in our churches even today, as we understand. And one of the things about persecution, let me just throw this in for free on our persecution path here, is that sometimes it wakens people up. Remember that soil that said when a little persecution came up, they didn't have depth in themselves, and they went away and bore no fruit. Sometimes a little persecution purifies the church. It cleanses, it weeds out some of those tares, as it were, that are pretend Christians. And so all this in mind with these parables, let's look at two more parables here given in this context. And it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 53, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and was coming to his own country." Oh, I'm sorry. My page flipped and I didn't. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. There we go. "Another parable put he forth unto them." Now that other text that I just read, I'm going to get there, but it might take two more weeks. Okay. So that is again a portrayal of the complete and utter rejection of the Messiah. And so this begins with chapter 12 that talks about the rejection of the Messiah. And then again, we have these parables that we're looking at. And then at the end, there's a more thorough rejection of the Christ as the Messiah. I tried to put it in our penny pulpit this last week that it's hard to get a hold of what Christ was going through when he put forth these parables. The fact that his message was rejected had an effect on the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when he wept over Jerusalem? A couple times he wept over Jerusalem. One time he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you as a hen would gather her chicks, but ye would not." Sometimes we look at these parables and understand, wow, it sure is hard to preach the gospel nowadays. It sure is, again, amazing how much rejection there is of the truth. But again, as we look at these parables, understand that he was here when he gave these parables, and he was the one who was rejected of men and despised. And so let that just sink in again and understand that these parables had a profound effect on the compassions and the passions of our Lord Jesus Christ while he was here. Verse 31 says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Let's look quickly at this parable. Praise the Lord, I got our doc in this week. I said, by May 1st, I'm going to get our doc in, and I'm a month late. And I said, by June 1st, we're going to have all of our garden in, and I'm so far behind schedule. But anyway, when we put our garden in, we find that the mustard seed is not the least of all seeds. Don't let that fuss with you. Anyone plant celery before? It's like you pull the handful of seeds, you go, and they go, and it's just a powder that comes out and settles down on the ground. So they are leaster than these seeds, mustard seeds that it's talking about. And notice also it says, but when it is grown, is the greatest among herbs. And I think maybe that might not be true either. The greatest among herbs would probably be that little bamboo shoot that comes up. I think that's called an herb. And so when we look at this, I want you to keep in context the lesson that he's teaching. Not the, I was going to say science. The God of this world has a last name. It's called science. It's got a first name too. It's called pseudo. You got to think about that a minute. But anyway, we're not talking about the science of this. We're not talking about the fact that this tiny seed, that there is no tinier seed. What it's talking about for the gardener back there in the Orient and the Oriental mustard seed that they planted. Again, notice that it was a very tiny seed. And the plant that grew out of this very tiny seed turned into a very large plant. And so that's his point. This is not a comparison of whether mustard seed is smaller than celery seed. It's not a comparison about whether this is the largest seed that would turn into any kind of herb. But again, don't miss the intent of this thing. It is, again, the fact that you plant this tiny little seed and it begins to grow. And this is likened to the kingdom of heaven. This is likened even to the part of the kingdom of heaven that we are tasting of right now. And it have been, again, for these past 2,000 years, that we are in this kind of a phase for the kingdom of heaven, wherein it started as just a tiny little seed, but boy, has grown immense. And as we consider that, consider some other things about a mustard seed. I'm sure he could have found a tinier seed, and it could be that he could have found a bigger plant. But when he gives here the fact that this is a tiny little mustard seed, I want you to think what mustard is used for.
Seasoning,
okay. And not only that, it'll burn your lips off. You can get some mustard. And this Oriental mustard that he's evidently talking about here is probably not the brown mustard that you're all used to. And again, it is a very hot, very spicy mustard. And a little bit of it goes a long ways again. And so I don't know how much intent he had of putting the mustard seed because it is, as it were, the salt of the earth. It is, again, things that changes life and changes food. But again, notice here that it is a small seed and it turns into something that's large. Now, when I was a kid, and they taught this parable, they taught that it wasn't really the smallest of seeds and that wasn't really the greatest of herbs. In fact, a mustard seed, of course, as they knew, the little brown mustard turns into something like a goldenrod, a little stubby plant. And so this here is the Oriental mustard probably that he's talking about. And it does turn into a huge, sometimes up to 10 feet tall plant. And so don't miss the fact that, again, the kingdom of God is not what he had intended, even in this age. And notice again, we're following a sequence of these parables. First off, the kingdom of God is like the sower that sowed seeds, and half of it ain't working. Three quarters of it ain't working. Ain't doing nothing. It's like the seeds that are sown, pure seeds, but again, ends up with tares in there because of the enemy. And so these illustrations given in chapter 13, all of them that give an explanation and insight to the kingdom of heaven is that, hey, things aren't working out right. This kingdom is not going to end up with King of Kings and Lord of Lords sitting on the throne until he comes down in vengeance and judgment and sets things straight. And so here we are in this kingdom, and look at this last part and don't miss it. It becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, this idea that a tree with birds lodging in it, the birds fit into the previous parable explanation. Remember when he said the parable of the sower and the seeds? He said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all the rest of the parables? And so the rest of the parables include these fowls of the air. Fowls of the air are not good. Fowls of the air, again, in the first parable that he explained, represent Satan that comes by and picks the seed out of the ground. And so the fowls of the air are not a good thing. This is not Baltimore Orioles we're talking about here, okay? This is more like vultures, if you would, landing in this tree. And so, do we have precedent for that? Yes, indeed we do. Over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, if I recall, from Schofield's notes, he talks about a tree that is representative of the Assyrians. The Assyrians raised up and thought themselves something great, and they became from a little tree, they became a great tree that housed the fowls of the air. And God said, that's it. Wipe the Assyrians off the face of the earth. It can be likened to the Babylonians, again, in the book of Ezekiel. And one of those chapters, I think 31, where Ezekiel likens the Babylonian king and the Babylonian kingdom to trees that are lopped off and planted, and they raise up and become great trees, and the fowls of the air dwell in those great trees. And finally God said, that's it, I've had it with that, and he lops off that tree and kills it and destroys it as he did the Babylonian kingdom. Over in Daniel, remember there's a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about being a tree that got lopped off. And again, there it was. It became a tree, and the fowls of the air dwelled in the branches thereof. And so we see this repeated theme that things that are going, that lift themselves up in this world and think that they're really great, God finally has to step in and level it off and fix things. And so we have this parable here of the mustard seed. It turns into something that it's not meant to be. And the fowl of the air are lodging in, as it were, the church. Notice here again, the parable is one that the kingdom of God, it's a parable about the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And so it is a parable that it's not going to work out like it's supposed to. And it's going to come to an end because, again, it was a failure. Verse 33 starts another parable. I've already used up my time. Let's do it anyway. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. I don't have to read the rest of this parable. You could understand again. I've already preached on it. We've already looked at it. What is the leaven? Is that good or bad?
That's not good.
That's not good. Throughout the Bible, leaven is portrayed as sin. Leaven is portrayed as a little bit of influence that destroys the whole thing, or at least alters the whole thing. Those of us that like fresh raised bread, again, we wouldn't say it destroys the whole thing, but it does alter the whole thing. And so here again is yet another picture of the fact that, hey, the kingdom of heaven, it's got a little bit of ulcer. It's got a little bit of problem. It's got one little area that's problematic. But that takes over the whole thing, and the whole thing is eventually filled with leaven. These parables, as we've looked at them in chapter 13, and as we'll continue walking through the last couple of parables here, notice again that they're saying that, hey, things aren't going to end well. The things in this church age are not going to end well. Same thing we started with, again, that it's not going to be the church converts the whole world, and now we again usher in the king, and he comes back. No, that's not Bible. The Bible is that these things are not going to end well. And instead, you find that there's a little tiny remnant still left on the earth. Even to ask our Lord Jesus Christ, to ask the question, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I hope you can answer that. I hope you can give an affirmative that, hey, I'm in this to the end. We're in this again to the end. And we're going to stick it out no matter what the world does, no matter what our government does, no matter, again, what direction our nation takes, we're going to stick it out to the end because we've read the final chapter and we know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And we understand that in Revelation chapter 19, there is coming one who's going to be King of Kings.
Amen.
And Lord of Lords. And he will deal with the communist countries of this world. He will deal with the sins of this world. He will deal with, again, the tyranny that's in this world. And it's not our job. What is our job again? To preach the gospel to every creature. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. There are people that are hurting out there today. There are people that are scared to death out there. There are people that you'll probably bump into some this week, maybe even in upstate New York, that are terrified, and they insist that you wear a mask again so that you won't get any of your germs on them because they're terrified of dying. The CNN reporter chastised Pastor Clark because he was standing in front of people and preaching out loud. And when you preach out loud, your spit hangs in the air for 12 minutes, they said. Their God's name, Science. That's the last name. And so again, as we understand here, and the times that we're living in, the day that we're living in, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And again, we're going to be victors in this thing. And as we look at the kingdom of heaven and the mystery of it all, boy, praise the Lord that unto you it is given to know these things. And that's so that we can keep the main thing, the main thing. Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. That's this week. In a world where people are terrified and troubled and nervous and scared, let's be witnesses of the hope that lieth in you. And let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you that we could meet today. Thank you again, Father, that we could look at these scriptures and be encouraged in a day again when things aren't turning out quite like we expected, even in our nation. And as we be in that plight, I pray again, Father, that you'd even all the more embolden our love for you, embolden the witness, Father, that we could even have more, and that we could again, Father, use it to preach the gospel. I'll praise you and thank you for your hand on each one that's here, each one that hears my voice, and Father, each one that hears these scriptures and would be strengthened and encouraged for it all. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. If you can, let's stand for just a minute. Let's have an invitation. And as the pianist plays our invitation, let's go ahead and surrender all. Let's go ahead and give it to him. And spend some time even in prayer during our invitation, if you would. If you want to come to the altar, you can. If you want to kneel there in your seat, you can. Father, I praise you again and thank you. Thank you that we can worship today. Thank you for churches again that are under threat today because they're worshiping. Be with Pastor Clark and as they face again more summons and fines for holding church today. Be with Anchor Baptist as Pastor Jacobs and Pastor Rice out there open their doors for worship. Be with other churches again that are struggling. And thank you, Father, that we could worship openly and freely here. Pray your blessing on everything that's said and done. Touch our week, Father, we'd like to see some victories for you. So I pray that you touch us as soul winners, touch us again with your hand and your power. Thank you for your blessings. Father, we love you. And thank you that we could gather with other believers and praise your name on this Sunday morning. Bless in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians closes with this benediction: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Lord bless you.